Hey guys, welcome back to Real Time Crime.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Jalai. And for today's case, we will be concluding our mental health category for the month of June. We will be talking about the case of Daniel Gonzalez today from England in 2004. So take it away, Hannah.
So Daniel Gonzalez is also known as the Krueger Killer. He was active in September of 2004, and it resulted in 4 people dying and 6 victims total. Daniel Gonzalez grew up in England. His mother was English and his father was Spanish. He attended a private school. He was said to be good at chess and acting. However, he still struggled mostly with the social aspect. He had a hard time maturing and socializing with kids his age. He wet the bed until he was 12. He had a hard time making friends and maintaining friendships. He was above average intelligent, but he also would like draw violent pictures in the school books, like stabbing pictures. So around the age of 18 or 19, he received a professional diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia. And as we know, that can include mood swings, which can include high highs and low lows, auditory and visual hallucinations, all that stuff. So at this time, he's living with his mom, and he's alone. He can't hold down a job. He hasn't had a girlfriend in forever. He's just very isolated and alone in his mom's house. Just like playing really violent video games and constantly watching these scary movies over and over. His thoughts about hurting himself and others started to become a bit more vocalized. And his mom knew that he needed help. And so she was trying to get help for him. So being isolated and not being able to get the help that he might need, he was turning to like drugs and alcohol, which of course don't help make mental health issues any easier. So the murder spree started on September 15th in 2004. He had left his home and went to a park, and he had just decided that he wanted to stalk people who would be appropriate to kill, like anyone. He wasn't anyone in particular. He was just looking. And this is about 11:30 in the morning. He comes across this couple who was in their 60s. Their names are Peter and Janice King, and they're walking their dog. And they're literally just in the wrong place, wrong time. He jumps out at them and literally says, "I'm going to kill you," and then puts the knife under Peter's throat. And Peter fights back, and Daniel gets like startled by this, and he ends up fleeing. And as he's running away, he says, "Sorry, I'm a schizophrenic. I can't help myself." So, later, he concludes that the knife was too small, and that was the problem. That's why he wasn't able to kill these people. So he goes to the store and he buys a larger knife and a hockey mask so that he can emulate. Is it Jason? Yeah, Jason Voorhees. So he can emulate Jason Voorhees. So we're around 2 hours after the attack in the park. He hides in a pathway, and a 73-year-old retired school teacher, Mrs. Marie Harding, was walking home from visiting her daughter, and he jumps out at her and he grabs her and he stabs her in the back and he slits her throat, and she dies almost instantly. And her body was found around 4 o'clock that afternoon. So at this point, he decides he's had enough for one day, and he goes back home to his mom's house. He locks himself in his room and he's like writing notes to himself, and he's promising to himself that this is what he's going to do. This is his job. This is what he's meant to do. He's going to kill people. He's going to kill people in the same ways. And yeah. So his mom comes home from work and she can hear him like talking to himself in his room, but she has no idea what happened. So it looks like the majority of the day of the 16th, he didn't do too much, but that night he goes out to a bar and he's drinking. I guess he's like celebrating what he's been able to accomplish so far. And he's drinking into the early hours of the morning, the time that these pubs start to close down. So this man named Kevin, he's 46 years old. He wanted to go up to Daniel to make sure that he was okay, because Daniel's kind of like, he was really drunk, but he's also kind of like pretending a little bit. So Kevin is, he's not elderly. He's not small. So he's different from the previous victims that he's had, but he has been drinking. We're at 5:30 in the morning. So Kevin's not at like his best in order to fight back. So he does fight back when Kevin attacks him, but he ends up getting stabbed multiple times all over, like abdomen, chest, face, everywhere. And he's left for dead as well. These knives that he had were stolen from a department store, and he had pulled out two knives, pair of knives, to stab Kevin with. And at this point, he's like, he's got some confidence now. Like he got back, you know, the first altercation was a fight that he lost. The second one was an elderly lady from behind, but this time he's got a younger man face to face. So his confidence is built up. So he goes looking for his next victim. So around 7 a.m., he picks a house owned by Kumas Constantino and his wife. So he breaks into the house, which wakes up the wife and the husband, Kumas, goes to see what's going on. And so he finds Daniel in his kitchen with a knife, and there's a big fight. You know, they struggle, there's scratches and bites and all this stuff. And Daniel once again realizes that he met his match and he fled. So Kumas was stabbed in the arm during the fight, but was otherwise okay, as was the wife. So at this point, we've got four attacks with two murders. So an hour later at 8 a.m., he's still trying to go up to different houses to get into houses and attack people at random. And he comes up to this one couple's door. Their names are Derek and Jean Robinson. And they're literally just eating breakfast at their table. And he comes to their door. He's covered in blood, and they assume that he needs help. So when they open the door, he immediately attacks Mr. Robinson. And he dies from the attack. And then Daniel later says that he tried to kill Jean as quickly as possible because he felt bad. I don't know, but he did end up killing her very quickly as well. So at this point, he's in the Robinson's house, and he's got both of them dead in like the front room of their house. And he realizes, oh, like I'm covered in blood. So he decides to go upstairs and take a shower. So at this point, like he's upstairs, the shower's running. He's not in the shower yet. An interior decorator was scheduled to come to the house of the Robinsons that morning just by chance. And he has a set of keys. So he lets himself in, sees the bodies, hears the running water, and decides to investigate. So he goes upstairs to the bathroom. And when he opens the door, he finds Daniel completely naked, like ready to go into the shower. And he's covered in blood. And Daniel literally just says, "Sorry about this, mate," and takes off and gets away, because the guy was so shocked, like, what? So he's gone. So now we have four murders and six victims total. So he is covered in blood. He's got injuries from these fights that he's been in. So he decides to take a bus to the hospital to get treated for his wounds. He uses a fake name and he receives the help that he needs. He told the people at the hospital that he cut himself like on some broken glass, and that all the blood all over him was just his. And like I said, there's no questions. There's no police called. He gets treated and he leaves. So he goes looking for another victim. And this is about noon on September 17th. He goes to the train station, or they call it the tube. And I guess his main goal was to like get to London and kill people there, because he wanted to like obtain fame from this. So he figured, well, I've been doing like these killings and, you know, in the surrounding areas of London and Surrey and Sussex, but now I really think I need to go to London in order to make a splash to get in the papers and stuff. So he's attempting to take the train there, and he hands money covered in blood to the attendant to buy a ticket to get on the train. And again, he's covered in blood. And so they call the cops and he gets picked up immediately, thankfully. Yeah. So he gets, like I said, he gets arrested right away. He's blaming the voices in his head. He says, I didn't have any more options. This is what I'm supposed to do. One officer said that as he's saying this, like he just felt like it was very manipulative and deceptive and he just wasn't buying it. And Daniel doesn't admit to the murders, but he says that the voices were telling him to kill. So he's saying that, like, I'm not responsible for the killings. The voices are. He's like trying to claim manslaughter. So during this investigation, he was quoted to say things like, after the killings, he felt clean, orgasmic, and felt like he got all the crap out of his life. He tells the police that, you know, not only was he looking up to and modeling his killings after like Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger, but he also looked up to the Columbine shooters. He compared his murders to those in the films like Halloween, and he told the police that he wanted to know what it would be like to be, quote, Freddy Krueger for the day, end quote. He also said, quote, I was walking down these alleyways with a knife, waiting to carve someone. The knife was 6 inches long. It was like a butcher's knife used to carve up bits of meat. I was going to the first place I could to kill someone, end quote. He also said, quote, I felt I was on a mission to kill as many people as possible, end quote. So on the one hand, yes, he does have a diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia at this point, but he's also telling the police, like, I intended to do this. I wanted to kill as many people as possible. Not the voices told me to kill as many people as possible. I wanted to. So the trial happens in February 2006, and obviously the defense tried to plead insanity. He didn't know the difference between right and wrong, right? But what he did to the victims, how he prepared, what he said during his interrogation, none of it just supports that. So he ended up with six life sentences, and the judge recommended that he never be released. Later, he did confess to killing all the victims, but he said, quote, I am sorry. I just wanted to get locked up. In fact, I should go into the electric chair, end quote. Do with that what you will. So he did get sent to a psych facility. He spent time at Broadmoor, which is, if you know who like Ronnie Cray is, he spent a lot of time there too. He's an infamous killer gangster from England. So he gets committed to Broadmoor and he spent some time there. And during his time, he actually had, for like 18 months, two nurses had to be at an arm's length from him at all times. And I was listening to this one YouTuber who used to work at Broadmoor, not when Daniel was there, but just in the past. And he said that he never saw this happen. Sometimes someone would need a nurse like that, you know, for maybe a week, a month or something, but not two nurses at an arm's length for 18 months. It just shows how dangerous and violent and risky he could be. Because at one point, he actually tried to bite himself to death. He was like biting at his wrists, trying to cut open his arteries. In March of 2006, he was labeled the most dangerous inmate at Broadmoor. And he would attack his mom and his grandmother during visits, like, It got really, really bad. A consultant forensic psychiatrist during the trial told the jurors, quote, I've never seen anyone bite himself with the ferocity he did. It was a serious attempt on his life, end quote. That doctor also said that Daniel had schizophrenia and antisocial personality disorder. So he had tried to chew his wrists open, right? So while those wounds were healing, he managed to get like a CD case and he broke it and he slashed his wrists. So in August of 2007 at the age of 26,
Daniel Gonzalez committed suicide at the psych facility.
I don't have a big takeaway for this one. I think it's kind of hard. Just this case just kind of is what it is. But since we're wrapping up our month of June, I just want to reiterate everything we've been saying. Take care of your brain, check in on your loved ones. If you need help, please visit the resources we've listed. And if you need to chat, we're always here.
So that's all we have for today. We thank you for helping us wrap up our month of June category of mental health awareness. And we will see you next month with our new category.
As always, if you haven't already, don't forget to follow us on social media and Instagram and Facebook at Real Time.